Welcome to part one of our excavation process in the Brand New You series. I am so happy to have you with me on this journey. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes to center ourselves before we even get started talking about branding, why we're here, and what we're going to do today. So if you would, for me, just put aside anything that you're holding, pen, paper, just sit a little bit taller in your chair. Nothing on your lap. Just put your feet to the floor, your back along the base of the chair. If you're lying down, that's fine. Just lie down completely flat. Move anything out of your way. And just start by taking a couple of deep breaths with me. No need to judge the breath. There's no good breath or bad breath or right breath or wrong breath. Just notice it. Where are you feeling tension in your body right now? If it's been a long day, what happened today? Are you still carrying that in your mind or in your heart? Just notice, let it float by, acknowledge it, and just let it float out of your mind like a cloud. A couple more deep cleansing breaths. One way I like to breathe when I'm centering myself so that I don't get caught up in my thoughts about how am I breathing and am I doing a good job breathing, I just invite in, when I breathe in, something that I want, right? So I invite in clarity, and when I breathe out, I release something that no longer serves me. So it might, for you, it might be as simple as breathe in something that really serves me and breathe out anything that's expired or outdated or frustrating me. Or you might get very specific, right? So I breathe in love. And I breathe out fear. So pick your words, pick something that might be coming into your consciousness right now. There's no good or bad. Just allow the breath to be an actual physical cleansing of what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your body, just so that we can get really present in the room together. And no need to deepen your breath or expand it. Just notice it. The art of noticing is what gets us present into this moment. So take another deep breath, inhaling what will serve you and what you want to call in. Love, clarity, presence, connection, insight. And then breathe out what no longer serves you. Frustration, anger, exhaustion, resentment, fear, anything that's on your mind that, you know what, just doesn't belong right now for this training module together. Notice any sensations in your body. Don't try and move them, adjust them, just notice them. And if something feels tight, send a little bit of breath there. Breathe in softness for that area. Send some breath when you breathe out and just release whatever tension or block might be there. Neck, shoulders, lower back, feet. Just acknowledge that you're here. That's the power of presence. Acknowledge that you're here. Celebrate that you've made time for yourself to be part of this program, to invest in yourself, in your brand, in what matters, in your personal leadership. Take another couple of breaths. And when you're ready, just gently open your eyes. If they've been closed, or just look around the room if your eyes have been open, just feeling a renewed sense of peace that you are here, that we're about to embark on some really fascinating content and insight back into yourself, and really with an air of gratitude, thanking yourself for taking the time to go down this journey. So we'll probably do some version of a quick centering exercise at the beginning of each one of our learning modules. And the purpose is really to just make a nice delineation between what happened so far in your day and what we are about to do together. Because it really is a difference in space and mindset. And, you know, leadership mindset all starts with being where you are in that moment, right? So when we get in our heads, when we get in our agendas, when we get in our, this is how it should be, or this is how it's supposed to be, when we get into that energy, we clog up a lot of possibilities of insight, of connection, of awareness. So I want to make sure that you take that tool and access that breath or that simplicity, or even just kind of putting one hand on your chest and one hand at the base of your stomach, just to feel in that moment that I am here, I am alive, I am breathing. Sometimes that simple recognition, as silly as it sounds, brings us right back to where we need to be. So with that, let's dive in. So today we're going to be talking about excavation, my favorite and most juicy part of branding. But before we start with our content, let's just talk a sec about branding and what definition we're going to be using as our shared definition of branding so that we know we're talking about the same thing. So from my perspective, right, branding is not your LinkedIn profile, it is not your job title, it's not where you live, how you dress, your logo on your business card, the company that you work in. All those things are components and manifestations of your brand, but they are not the brand, right? So just take that in for a second, because we truly have been taught that it's those external things and the compilation of all of those is who we are. The paradox, right, and the work that we're going to be doing together is completely counterintuitive to that. Right? It's going to be completely flopping that on its head and really encouraging you to go from the inside out, tapping into that inner wisdom, to that inner truth, to what you know absolutely non-negotiably about yourself that somehow has gotten hidden over the years, after frustration, after exhaustion and burnout, stress, after just life experiences. Somehow we lose sight and lose touch with that deepest component of ourselves. That is what we are accessing through branding. And the way that we're going to access that is very much from the inside out. Then later on in our work together, we're going to talk about those outside in tips, right? How do you then start extracting your newfound clarity and insight and direction to all those external ways of being, right? To your physical appearance, to the communication that you put out into the world, to your social circle, to your spiritual practice, right? To anything and everything that matters to you. And we're not going to, again, like I said last time, we're not going to reinvent the wheel of you. We are going to start choosing very meticulously where are the two or three or five areas that you really want to concentrate on. No more and no less. So we said what branding is not. Let's talk about what branding is. So you know my philosophy and my story that I shared with you last time. But truly, branding is going to be our vehicle to that self-discovery journey. Branding is going to be a way that we understand, both our rational mind understands, but also our heart and our spirit understands the coming back to you, right? So branding, quite practically, right, for those of you who are joining me and want more of a practical answer, it's basically bringing an alignment of how you see yourself versus how the world sees you. How in alignment are those couple of things, right? For some of us, it's super clear, right? Yep, how the world sees me is exactly how I'm perceived. For most of us, it's quite disparate, right? The world sees me this way, but wow, inside I feel a lot bigger and bolder. Or you know what? Inside I feel a lot more shy than what I put out there. So a brand ultimately is what you stand for in a way that defines you and sets you apart. And I've talked about the paradox of leadership. I've talked about how that name came to be as the name of my company, right? But this is talking about the paradox of focus, right? So when I say what you stand for in a way that defines you and sets you apart, I want you to consider for a minute that you have probably gotten good at being everything to everyone, right? And I'm just making an assumption, but most of us, right, say, wow, well, I've built an entire career on providing what my company wants when they want it, or being a good colleague when my colleague needs that type of support, or being there for my children, or being there for my friends. And that's all well and good, but don't forget, that's basically compartmentalizing ourselves in hundreds of different pieces, and then somehow that mosaic becomes our brand. What I'm inviting you to consider through our work together is, what if you embraced the paradox of focus? That the more focused you get on who you are, what you stand for, what you say yes to, and what you say no to, the more you do that, the clearer, more articulate, more profound, and more impactful your brand will be. The problem with wanting to be everything to everyone and defining ourselves through the eyes of others is that we lose ourselves. And so there isn't much conviction and stickiness underneath that. It's good, but it's not going to serve us in the long run. I want you to consider that the tools and the ways of being and your habits that have brought you to this point are no longer the same tools and habits and mindsets and thoughts and beliefs that are going to carry you from this point forward. I don't believe in coincidence, right? You've reached this program for a very specific reason at this point in your life. You and I have connected for some purpose. So trust in that, right? And I told you, I'm going to be giving you some tough love and some real coaching tips and philosophies, right? But trust that what has served you to now is not necessarily the same exact toolkit that's going to transport you from where you are today to where you want to be in the future. So I invite you to be open to the letting go, right? To be open to that process of decluttering. To be open to choosing, right? The power and the paradox of choice. It feels scary, but it is also the direct link to our freedom. So I am going to push you into that paradox of focus, that the more specific, the more concrete, the more crisp you can get when we start articulating your brand, the more freedom you're going to feel on the other side. So with that, we're already in the start of excavation. Let's dig a little bit deeper. So when we talk about what stands in the way, right, what stands in the way of us choosing, of being more specific, of, you know what, I want to be known for this, or I want to work for that company, or I've always wanted to start my own business and I never have, right? What stands in our way, of course, and we're all thinking this, is some version of fear. And this is not to say, oh, Valya, please don't take me down this road. This is not psychology. Well, it is. Right? Coaching is psychology meets business, and we need to understand the inner workings of our mind and our fears in order to clear that junk up to be able to project a much more confident, authentic, and aligned version of ourselves out into the world. Right? So what happens with fear is we think we're very sneaky. We think that what we think about, right, those thoughts, those inner fears, those inner worries, we think the rest of the world can't hear that. That we are so good at masking that, or that we put a big smile on our face and everything's okay. It's not the case. Particularly those of you who are intuitive, those of you who have high emotional intelligence, and I trust that you are to be on this call with me, right? We can see through other people. We can see when somebody's having a hard time. We're able to assess, even if they're not saying something, what's actually going on. Right? So what makes us think that it would be any different when people are experiencing us? We wear our fears on our face. And if not on our face, and we're good at masking that, certainly in terms of our decisions, our behaviors. But I'm not worried about what the rest of the world is thinking. My bigger concern is that when we allow those fears to eat up within us, that's when we start having dis-ease. That's when the body starts reacting. Like me, that's when I started having those crazy panic attacks. Right? So don't underestimate. We think we're being sneaky. We think we're being crafty. We think, oh, but nobody sees that. That's just my internal world. It is going to manifest in some way, shape, or form. I love this quote by Robin Sharma. As we grow more into our light, our dark sides really do surface, and a part of us fights to stay small, clinging to our old ways of thinking, feeling, and acting. As we get closest to leadership, our greatest fears come alive. I love that quote. it really speaks to, you know, we live in this world of pretend fears, and they're pretend because our brain has just created the illusion that somehow we are not safe, we are not secure, we are not confident enough. But what I love what he says is we cling, we literally cling obsessively to our old ways and our old patterns and our old habits. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Right? So, but as we get closest to leadership, as we get closest to freeing ourselves, to substitute whatever word resonates for you, as we get closest to love, to what you want, to that new job, right? To that new house, to the big move. As we get closest to what we want, our greatest fears come alive. And why? Right? They come alive because that is what is most threatening to them. Our fears are nothing more than these, you know, little stories in our head, these little ways of being that want to keep us safe. I can't tell you how many clients, you know, get angry with their fears of, oh, Valia, how are we talking about this again? I've been processing this for so many years and it hasn't transformed. And I say, yes, it hasn't transformed because you have been getting mad at the thing. You have been angry. You've been trying to shove it into a box and ignore it. What we're going to try is the opposite approach. What if you were to talk to your fear? Right? What if you were to give it space to actually say what it needs from you? Perhaps just attention, perhaps just acknowledgement, perhaps, and I know this sounds silly, but I have clients do this all the time and it's transformative. Perhaps just say thank you. Thank you for serving me. I know when I'm scared and I act like a perfectionist that you're really there to protect me. And I know that's a pattern that has been well imbued in how I work my entire life and my entire career. So thank you. It's been really helpful. It's not going to be helpful from this point forward, so I'm going to give you another job. But until I give you that other job, just thank you, because you've really been supportive. Just consider, what would it look like if we actually spoke to our fears that way and gave them something productive to do, rather than trying to shove them in a corner, shove them in a box, and pretend they don't exist, because they do. So my invitation to you is start opening up to the possibility of having a different relationship with your fears. Because when we get closest to what you want, I don't want that fear to come alive, the way Robin Sharma says. I don't want it to come and engulf you to the point where you don't act and retreat, because that's what we all do. Instead, I want you to go right through that fear barrier. Because what's a fear? Nothing. It's a story in our head. It doesn't exist. There's nothing tangible. It's just our projection into some future state that could theoretically happen based on some habit that has crafted an arsenal for our security when we were 7, 8, 9 years old. We're talking about leadership, don't forget. So be honest with yourself. How much are you allowing that 7-year-old to lead your show today? Is that the person who's leading and driving your experience? Or are you, your adult self, leading and driving? 99% of people would say, yeah, it's probably that 7 or 8-year-old when my boss yells at me, or when I miss a deadline, or when I'm running late, right? Whatever those triggers are for you, and it's getting really clear on what those triggers are. So, a couple of thoughts on fear, all right? So one of them is, it's a human experience, right? You're not alone. This is not the first time you're going to have one. This is not the last time you're going to have one. What I want you to consider is that because it is human, it is normal. And because it is normal, it can be transformed like any other habit choice. It's just a mental habit. In coaching, we call it a mental model. Right? So how can we just acknowledge and say, ah, isn't that interesting? There's a mental model. I've believed this. This has helped me and served me in a couple of different ways. And it's actually no longer serving me. So I'm going to go ahead and release that model. Right? We've just bought into the illusion of our story. And that's okay. It's our thoughts that scare us, not actual reality. So our work during this excavation process is to get really clear on what are your specific thought patterns. What are those thoughts that sound small, sound petty, sound, no one's ever going to hear this, it's just how I'm wired, but actually have a profound effect in where you get in your own way, in how you project your brand out into the world. So the scariest thoughts that we tend to have are those about ourselves. All right. In coaching, we've got 100 words to call this, but essentially it's our imposter. It's our inner critic. We call it our inner gremlin, our inner roommate, whatever you want to call it. It's that voice in your head that you know all too well. And this is the voice that gets triggered under stress. When you're not feeling, for some reason, you're not feeling safe, you're not feeling secure, or somehow your self-esteem has been bruised. Those are the three S's, right? Safety, security, self-esteem. That's what we seek in every interaction and every choice. It's human, right? So that inner critic is telling you some version of a story about yourself, right? And that's the one that's running the show, by the way. That's the 7, 8, 9-year-old who's running the show. So I ask you, and what we're going to do in our workbook and through our worksheets is, what's your version of that story? Right? Typically, it's going to sound like, I'm not something enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not educated enough. I am not tall enough. I'm not short enough. Right? I'm not successful enough. I'm not financially free enough. Some version of enough. So typically, all of those boil down in a human way, right, to I'm not good enough. That's going to be some version of the root of this thought. But what I want you to get very clear and crisp on is, what is your version of that? So I'll share with you mine, right, in the spirit of vulnerability and our continued connection, right? So mine has always been, I mean, it's funny, mine actually doesn't have an adjective in between. Mine is just, I'm not enough. That manifested, and you heard my story about how I started, nice girl. Mine was always this proving energy, right? It's just, it's not enough. I need another degree. I need another credential. I need another client. I need another relationship. I need to make somebody else happy. I need to do more for this person or for this cause. I need to give more of my time, more of my energy. It was always depleting my source for the help of others. But it wasn't from a place of truth the way it is now for me in terms of service others. It was much more of, I need them to like me, and they'll like me if I am nice to them or if I do good things or if I do more. So my version of the story was literally, it was so raw, there wasn't even an adjective of I'm not successful or I'm not competent or I'm not, you know, well-versed or I'm not diplomatic enough or I'm not social enough. It was literally, I'm not enough. So I had programmed my entire experience and all of my life's choices and my entire brand to just overdoing. Overdoing in terms of the things I committed to, the number of clients, the number of social engagements, the number of ways I served my family, my friends. I mean, it was literally a recipe for depletion and disaster, hence the insane panic attack spell that I had for over, you know, the 6-month period that I was experiencing that. It had to get that raw and ugly for me to pay attention, right? Because my MO would have been, I'll just keep doing more. It's okay. Right? So that thought, right, was actually running my entire experience. That thought of I'm not enough led to some very crazy actions and some results that were really not serving me. In fact, were starting to become super detrimental to how I was experiencing my life. I'll give you a couple of other examples, right? A lot of my clients get onboarded into really senior roles, right? So they're great at what they do functionally, and then they're promoted into a leadership role, whether leading an organization, a large team, a global sales force, right? And so oftentimes their stories are, you know what, I'm not competent enough. I don't know how to be a manager. I know how to do my work, but I don't know how to lead people. So it might be, I'm not experienced enough. I'm not competent enough. I'm not good enough with people. I'm not inspiring enough. I'm not visionary enough. I'm not creative enough. Your version of that story. Now, please do not give me a really poo-poo surface level answer, right? Well, I'm not, I'm not enough because I don't have the right clothes, or I'm not enough because I didn't take that course. That's the surface level. I want you to get deep and raw and keep asking what's underneath that thought. What's underneath that thought? Well, what's underneath that thought? You will know when you get to the heart of this because it is raw, it is uncomfortable, and it will really hit a chord. You're going to have a visceral reaction in your body when you get to the rawness of it. You might even be embarrassed to put it down on a piece of paper. I often have groups of people do this in a workshop setting and then share with others, and the moan and dread and fear that comes up in the room when I tell them that they're going to share, I mean, it is palpable. And what's amazing is after they get through the other side and they've been able to share and say, oh, well, you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm not smart enough. There is such a diffusion of that energy. It's like freedom is on the other side. Liberty truly is on the other side. Relaxation, peace, calm. Everything that you hope for is on the other side of this fear barrier. So that's one of the reasons why I have you put this on paper, is not just what is the thought, but you putting pen to paper to see it, to read it, to allow your rational brain to say, wait a second, that's not actually true. Yeah, sure. Okay. I might not feel smart enough in this one instance, but yeah, okay. I'm smart. I'm really successful. I've done a lot. Right? We need that rational brain to talk to that 7, 8, 9-year-old who's been running the show all this time, right? To allow us to unprogram that habit so we can reprogram in our foundation, right? In the next couple of modules, how are we going to build on a really clean slate so that it's solid and it's able to grow roots? I don't want anything on a shaky foundation for you. So think about that thought pattern. Okay, the I'm not what enough, and capture that in your journal, capture that in your workbook. And I want you to write down when that thought pattern is running the show, what happens? Right? What happens when I'm feeling, I shared with you my example, when I'm feeling that I'm not enough, what happens is it completely runs the show. I start overprocessing myself, I start overprogramming, I overcommit, I start becoming exhausted, I'm operating from burnout, then I get even more stressed because I don't have enough time. So I have very physical manifestations when I go into my place of insecurity, self-doubt, imposter syndrome. So just write down what happens for you. What are the things that you do or don't do from that thought pattern? And the next thing I want you to do, and this is going to sound silly, but just go with me. I want you to name it. Whatever you want. Could be Bob, it could be your Uncle Sa your Uncle Sally. It could be your Uncle Sally, your Uncle Bob. It could be, a silly pet name that you have. It could be the name of an old stuffed animal. Give it a name. Could be something creative, an object, apple, my pen, boo-boo. Something silly, and you're seeing where I'm going with this, right? It needs to be something that when you identify the thought pattern, you are now no longer thinking, I am not successful enough. You're actually saying, oh, there's Bob again. Hi, Bob. I know you. Yep, I know you well. You're hi, good friend. Right? We're starting to shift that energy. Like I was saying earlier, what we're doing is actually reprogramming and rewiring the brain to first giggle. And to second, have a build a completely new relationship with Bob than we have with I'm not successful enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not competent enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not financially savvy enough. Right? So by objectifying, we are actually lessening the energy around this thought. And allowing you to see it from your rational brain and bringing you into present moment. Sounds like a silly exercise, transformative. All right, so we're gonna go one step deeper now. So you're gonna see in your worksheet something that's called Capture Your Thoughts. This is essentially 6 months of executive coaching on one worksheet. This is the heart and soul of all coaching. And when you can get to using this technique over and over again and keep this in your back pocket, it will transform the way you start relating with your environment. And I do not say that lightly. This is probably one of the most transformational tools I could possibly give you. So you'll see it's four simple words, right? The bottom of the page, there's a thought. That thought leads to some type of feeling. Chemically in your body, you have the thought and then you have some type of feeling. So chemically, now we're pumping the feelings of that throughout your body. From that feeling, from those chemicals, we are now having an action or inaction, some type of behavior, right? We're doing something or not doing something. And then ultimately that behavior, once we're doing or not doing something, is going to lead into some type of result. Sounds obvious, right? This is one of those things that you're like, yeah, Balia, that makes sense. Why is this profound? So this is profound because what we typically do in life and how we're programmed in our world is we ignore the top two. We ignore action and results, right? Because, and by ignore, I'm sorry, I actually mean that we're only focusing on those. So what happens is we ignore the entire trajectory of the four words. So what we're actually doing is ignoring that there is a sequence and we're just trying to substitute one action for another action and expecting a different result. What we are really ignoring, forgive me, right, is the thoughts and the feelings, because we think that goes on internally so nobody sees that, right? So that thought and that feeling, we completely ignore and we go back to thinking, well, I'll just substitute one action for another because this current thing that I'm doing isn't working and I'll magically expect a different result. This, by the way, is why New Year's resolutions never stick or almost never stick, right? Because we just assume, well, okay, I'm not skinny enough. So I want to go to the gym this year. That's my New Year's resolution. Great. So I start saying, instead of going 3 times a week like I went last year, now I'm going to go 5 times a week and see if anything changes, right? I substituted one action for another action. And of course, like we all know, and we're all giggling, right? It doesn't stick. I get the same results as last year, sometimes worse. Because we live in the illusion that by just changing behavior, everything miraculously changes. We're ignoring the most important part of the process, which is that thought that started the whole ripple effect. That thought, I am not skinny enough, led to some feeling in my body, right? Chemically, it led into a feeling of insecurity, self-doubt, worry, anxiety, remembering childhood memories, whatever comes up for you, right? And from those feelings, from chemically, from that feeling in my body, I decided that I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. But I'm showing up to the gym feeling completely small and depleted and insecure. And now somehow miraculously expecting my body to respond in kind. So whatever your version is, I'll give you my example, right? So I told you mine was, I am not enough, literally. So in my body, right? So that's my thought pattern at the base there, which led chemically to feelings in my body, insecurity, worry, fear, thinking about finances, how am I going to make this business work? How am I going to get things off the ground? I'm not enough. Let me go get another degree. All these feelings, right? Worry, rumination was one of my big feelings. Actual congestion in my chest and my throat. Sweaty palms, right? Dis-ease, unease, a whole bunch of feelings pumping in my body. From that place, how did I act or not act? So I just kept acting. My solution from that energy was I just kept doing more, saying yes to everything. Yep, I can do that. Sure, no problem. I'll do that. Yep, let's keep doing more of that. So all of a sudden, we are acting to my point of complete burnout and complete depletion. There was the word no did not exist in my vocabulary. Right? And from that place, you know, I've shared with you already, my result were some crazy panic attacks that literally knocked me to the ground, unconscious. It was literally my body saying, yep, this is not working anymore. Right? So what's your version of that? Take some time and really honor the power of this worksheet. What is the thought pattern that is leading to that feeling? How does that feeling inform your actions? And how do those actions create some version of a result in your life right now? No need to do anything else, but just identify the current trajectory. Now you'll notice oftentimes the thought that we think, oh, okay, well, that thought was just a thought, right? It's really my actions that are important. That thought is what set into cascade mode the entire ripple effect. So you actually don't need to worry about much once the thought is in action. That's how deep wired our programming is. Your responsibility is to be just conscious of what is the thought right now that is driving my current reality. And this thought, by the way, is central to how we are experiencing our brand, and ultimately the brand that we're projecting out into the world. So I want you to spend some time between now and next week when we're together again, really thinking about the thought pattern. Now, if you are stuck, a couple of ways to think about this. If you're stuck and you're like, well, yeah, I don't really know what the thought pattern is. Start with a feeling, because the feeling is often much easier to identify. So what you're going to do is think of a situation where you really felt stuck, right? It really was one of those situations that just lingered with you. Something happened, you got into an argument, something at work, a project didn't go as planned, or, you know, you're frustrated after many interviews that didn't go well. Something that really stuck in your body for more than a couple of hours, right? It was a couple of days, it was a couple of weeks that you were really ruminating over it. Then ask yourself, what was I believing about myself during that time? That's the core thought pattern. So what were you believing about yourself? I'm not competent enough. I'm terrible at this interviewing stuff, right? Oh, I really screwed up. I'm not cut out to be a manager, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not well-versed enough in how to do this. I'm not savvy enough. I'm not good at networking, right? Whatever your version of the story is, capture that feeling. Go back to what you were feeling. Don't run away from it. Just look at it. Just observe it. We're safe now, right? We're just observing. What was the thought that you were believing about yourself in that moment? And remember, as we grow more into our light, our dark sides really do surface, and a part of us fights to stay small. So as we're starting to look at this, and you will experience this in the week to come, I promise you, right? Because we're starting to look at some very ingrained thought patterns, you're going to be tested. It happens all the time, right? You're going to be tested. There's going to be some opportunity. And I want you, rather than reacting and going into the space of the energy of that thought, just try and watch it. Just try and be a conscious observer and say, oh, there's Bob again, right? Whatever it is that you named your thought pattern. There is Bob again. I can't believe it. He showed up 17 times today. Right? And just take note. Just observe, come back and journal about it. What happened? Why did it happen? Where were you? Who were you with? I want you to put your scientific hat on and only collect data, not your emotional hat for this. It's very important that you bring your scientific hat. Right? Because that's going to allow us to see this objectively. That's also going to allow you to separate your safety, security, self-esteem, longing person from your rational adult brain that's actually creating this experience. Okay, so between now and next time, you are going to identify the thought pattern, really sit with it, and try a few of them on, because they might all be pointing to one deeper, more central. That's what I typically find with clients, that there's a central thought pattern where the other adjacent ones are really dotted lining into. So you're going to identify it. Just explore, hey, when that voice runs the show, what's really happening? What have I experienced? What are some life moments or challenges that I've seen? Right? Just write down some examples for yourself and then truly objectify it and name it. Just throw a name, something silly, something serious, something profound, deep, a phrase, whatever works for you, but some way that you can look at this not as you, but as a thought pattern of you. Because next time we're going to talk about how to deconstruct that thought pattern and insert a new one to be in service to you. But don't forget, we need to objectify in order to give it another job. Right? You might also want to spend some time just reflecting on those fears that we spoke about earlier. Not in a good way or a bad way. This is not time to be judgmental. This is about openness. Just observe, where did that come from? I wonder where I learned to be afraid of that, right? How does that fear actually feel physically in my body? One way that's really helpful to start identifying when you get triggered, just start observing. You know, right? Keep a little log in your journal. You know the types of people who trigger you or the types of situations. Right? Just start creating a log. When I go into that place where I'm in reaction mode, this is typically what's happening. Right? It might be something as simple as when I haven't eaten and I'm hungry, then I start reacting. Or it might be every time there's a passive aggressive person, I feel that. Every time someone's selfish, I really explode. Every time somebody angry or somebody raises their voice, I have this type of reaction. Just observe where you get triggered, how you get triggered, what the common themes are, and how those might be anchored into fear. This is transformative work. We are literally unleashing years and years of patterns by just looking at it, scientifically putting our hat on, going there, but not sitting there, right? This is where coaching is different than psychology. Psychology is going to sit and ask why. We're not asking why. We're just looking to identify and say with curiosity, with respect, with gratitude, huh, I wonder where that came from, but I need to identify it so that I can create a new thought pattern and substitute a new way of being as I'm ready to transform my brand. Because what brought me here is no longer going to be what takes me to the next level, right? Remember what we shared. The tools, the methodologies, the habits, the beliefs, the values that have served you to now are not going to be the ones that are going to take you to your next level of leadership. That's why we're here. So as we wind down, I want to thank you. This was an intense session today, and this work is intense. This going into that inner critic, into that inner gremlin, you know, that imposter, it's a shadow place. Right? It's a place we don't like to talk about. It's a place we don't even like to write about. But I cannot tell you how much research has been done in the past few years around this concept of imposter syndrome. It's basically telling us that when we are in a room of smart, successful people, we think that we were the hiring mistake, or that we were the admission mistake, or that somehow we don't belong. But the challenge is we're all having that human experience of thinking that, or most of us are. So when you do the math, if we're all thinking that, it can't possibly be true that we're all experiencing that, right? I do a lot of work at executive MBA programs throughout the country. And, you know, one of the exercises I always love to do just to illuminate this point, when we first get started in a training or in a workshop, I'll have them close their eyes and just say, hey, you know, if you think you were the hiring mistake, or rather the admissions mistake into this program, which is a very exclusive and top-rated program, raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed. And of course, the majority of hands pop up, some slowly, some immediately pop up. And then I tell them, okay, keep your hands up, but just open your eyes and look around. And immediately there are giggles, discomfort, laughter, right? Talking to neighbors. It's amazing. Some of the best and brightest minds, right? Programs like Stern, at Columbia's executive MBA program, right? At Georgetown, at Cornell. I mean, it blows my mind that we all think we're not good enough. Somehow everybody else has arrived to this magical place and we missed the bus. So just acknowledge that what we are doing here, the biggest and best antidote to imposter syndrome is the tool that I'm giving you right now. It is to identify it, to objectify it, to name it, to talk about it, to write about it, so that you can look at it rather than be in it. That's our work together. That's what we're going to be experiencing throughout this program. So you have your work cut out for you, right? It's going to be a juicy week, okay? It's going to be a lot, but stick with it. Journal whatever comes up for you. Continue to create rituals and space for yourself to capture your thoughts. Okay, work through the worksheet, right? That thought, feeling, action, result model. Make sure you work through that several times. Practice with a couple of different thought patterns to make sure we got at the root. And then next time, we're going to go ahead and dig deeper into how we transform that thought pattern into something that really serves us. We're going to clean up any remaining junk in our excavation phase. So we're going to do part two of excavation next time, and then move the following time into setting our foundation. Right? What are our values? What do we stand for? What is our new way of being that's going to be the root and anchor of our brand? So thank you for your energy today, for your time, for your courage, and I will see you next time.